What does it mean to pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? We want the Lord to teach us to pray that, what it means to pray that. Let's look for a summary of the Bible's teaching on that at the back of our Psalter hymnals, Lord's Day 49, question and answer 124. Lord's Day 49, question and answer 124. And then our scripture reading is Psalm 143. What does the third petition mean? "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven" means, help us and all people to renounce our own wills, and without any back talk to obey your will, for it alone is good. Help everyone carry out his office and calling as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven. And then Psalm 143. "Hear my prayer," says David. And his prayer is essentially, verse 10, "Teach me to do your will in the middle of the mess that I'm in, the pressures that I face." And that's what we're praying in the third request. Psalm 143, the Psalm of David. "Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my pleas for mercy. In your faithfulness, answer me in your righteousness. Enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you. For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore, my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way that I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies, and you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul, for I am your servant." This is God's word. May he bless this word and teach us to pray like David, which is like our Lord Jesus taught us to pray. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, it's in the third request of the Lord's Prayer that the rubber hits the road. The rubber of submission to God really hits the road of life. "Hallowed be your name. Teach me to exalt your name." We can let that kind of float a little bit above life. "Your kingdom come. Lord, teach me to submit to your will more and more in my life and in those around me." It's getting closer to our lives. But really, the test of a God-glorifying life is found in the third request. "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Because the way we exalt God's name is by submitting to his Son's reign, his kingdom, the kingdom of Jesus. And the way we submit to King Jesus is to obey his will. And it's in obeying his will that we have the hardest time, even though they're all three connected to one another. How do I obey your will, Lord, especially when times are tough, when the road is not smooth but difficult? And that's the context here of Psalm 143, verse 10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Starting with me, help me to do, to obey your will. Teach me to do your will. How important is that? It's so important that in those all-important words of the Great Commission, Jesus made it an issue of discipleship, going to the ends of the earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And where's that going? Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Teaching them to obey God's will. Because that's where salvation ends up. We most glorify God when we most look like His Son. We most look like His Son when we most do God's will. And that's the purpose for which Jesus saved us. That's why He shed His blood for us, to turn us, transform us into a people who love His will, who seek His will, and who do His will more and more. Well, that's what we pray for. Participate in that great commission. Pray, Lord, help me to observe all that you've commanded. And help me to help others also come to that spot through Christ's salvation, saving work, to observe all that you've commanded. That's what we see, our theme this afternoon. It says a prayer, Lord, teach me to do your will. We're praying for obedience to God's will and obedient spirit. We're praying for guidance in doing God's will. And we're praying for joy, a joyful spirit like the angels in heaven have in doing God's will. Help me to obey, guide me along the way, and help me do it all with joy. Teach me, Lord, to do your will. It's a prayer for obedience. David doesn't say, teach me your will. He does that in other places. But his issue right now is not knowing God's will. He knows it. His issue is doing it. Because he's facing all kinds of pressures, outside and inside, to disobey God's will. To take the easy way out. He's facing inward pressures to give in to the outward pressures. What are inward pressures that we face to disobey God? Oh, there are so many inside pressures. Our own heart and mind pull us to do what's easiest, safest, most comfortable, what feels good, what makes us more acceptable to others, makes us look less weird. We love to be safe. We hate suffering. In times of weakness and temptation, it's easy to cave into our cravings and think, I'll ask for forgiveness later. I'll do better tomorrow. I'll get in line with God's will when I'm having a better day. There are all these inward excuses and pressures not to obey God's will. Then that is coupled by the outside pressures. And that's what David is facing also in this psalm. The inward pressure of my spirit fails, my inner spirit fails. I'm getting discouraged. I'm ready to let go. But there's outward pressures. Persecution here, opposition. To him, if he would just let up a little, he'd have an easier time. There's the fear of man. There's our culture. Powerful pressures to obey man, to follow self-will instead of God's will, to cave into the forces of our culture and the demands of the workplace when these go against God's will. And this is the need of the hour. For me and for you, in spite of all the noise and pressure around us, and pressures of self-preservation and fear within us. I need to pray for a mind and a heart and a will and a life set on doing God's will. Lord, teach me to do your will. That's my issue right now. I know what your will is. And I know what's right. But the pain of it, Lord. But help me to be like Daniel, to continue to pray to God, even when it's forbidden, and there's a lion's den waiting for you on the other side of doing God's will. Teach me to do your will. It's a prayer for courage to be brave in the face of all that militates against doing God's will. To stop all excuses and explanations for not doing God's will. You see, the heart is so adept at excusing our disobedience to God. We're so good at that. The prayer, teach me to do your will, runs in the opposite direction of excuses and explanations and justifications. You see, congregation, this is why Jesus came to earth. Because in the Garden of Eden, something happened to put the human race on the wrong pathway. Sins against the first three requests of the Lord's Prayer were committed when instead of exalting God's name, by submitting to God's reign, and doing God's will, they followed Satan to reject God's name and rebel against God's authority and follow their own will, listening to the voice of Satan. And the moment Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they opened a door to allow corruption and curse of the heart and mind and will to set us in the way of disobedience. To make us sons of disobedience, the Bible says in Ephesians 2. To make us defiant. To tell God his will makes no sense right now for me in my life. And Jesus stepped into the garden of this life, or the wilderness of this life that the garden had become, to take our disobedience upon himself and to receive the curse of God that we deserve upon himself. And through his obedience to his mission, his obedience to God's will, he conquered our sin. He conquered our death. He conquered our disobedience. And if you believe in Jesus, again a door opens into your life, letting in something else. Submission, obedience, a spirit of obedience. Teach me to do your will. Lord Jesus, you came to give this to me. Jesus prayed, not as I will, but as you will. And in doing that, he was creating in his own power a people who pray, teach me, Lord, to do your will. And that's why Jesus came, to create for God, a new people, a transformed people who love to do his will instead of who hate God's will. And that's what this prayer is all about. And we see that transformed people, that transformation in Romans 12, 1 and 2. You know those verses, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. What's that living sacrifice look like? Well, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, in view of the mercies of God who saved you, don't be conformed to the will of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can discern what God's will is in your life, his good, holy, pleasing, and perfect will. And that becomes the desire, the drive of the Christian, of the believer. Teach me to do your will. For you are my God. I can look to you for help because you're my God. You've entered into a covenant with me of grace, and you love me, and you'll answer this prayer, for you love your will. And I can look to you, your son Jesus, to teach me your will, to teach me to do your will, for help to do what is so impossible to do. Paul speaks about this in Ephesians chapter 5 when he's dealing with slaves, bondservants, employees who struggle with serving earthly masters, employers who are harsh and unfair. How do we handle that? Paul says, bondservants, obey your earthly masters with fear and trembling, with a sincere heart, as you would obey Christ, not by way of eye service, working hard when they're watching you, as people pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ. And then notice what Paul says in Ephesians 5 or 6, verses 5 through 7, doing the will of God from the heart, rendering service with a good will as to the Lord and not to man. You need to pray, says Paul to them. Teach me to do your will, O God. And that leads us to the second point. It's also a prayer for guidance in discerning and doing God's will. Teach me your will to do your will, for you're my God, verse 10. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. You get the picture. The ground where I'm standing right now, says David, is not level. The ground over there is level. How do I get through this? The opposition, inner opposition, outward opposition, to the level ground. I need the Spirit of God to guide me to do God's will. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good Spirit lead me. They go together. You see, obedience at any time is difficult, but especially under pressure. Requires an inner spirit that seeks the guidance of the Holy Spirit of God. So David prays not only for a heart of obedience, but also for the Holy Spirit of guidance to follow that way of obedience. You see how the will of God, the commandments of God, and the Spirit of God work together? Teach me to do your will, your commandments. Let your good Spirit lead me. Sometimes Christians abuse the Holy Spirit. The Spirit led me to say this. The Spirit led me to do this. When what you said or what you did was totally contrary to the will of God. No, the Spirit does not lead you to do what's contrary to the will of God. Don't blame him for your sins. A prayer for the Spirit's guidance is a prayer for the Spirit to lead you and direct you to discern and do God's commandments. They go together. Because God's will is written for us in the Bible. And guess who wrote the Bible? The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is always in favor of the will of God and always directing us in the way of doing God's will. He delights in the will of God. And he trains us to delight in the will of God. He always leads us in the way of obeying God's will and doing it, not of disobeying it. And following our own will. It's exactly how Jesus was empowered to do God's will under great pressure and suffering. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit, says the Bible, to do good. And dear Christian, that Spirit of Jesus fills you. If you believe in Jesus, he not only justifies you, forgives all your sins, declares you righteous, gives you a new record, but he also sanctifies you. When you believe in him, he also fills you with his Spirit. And his Spirit lives in you as an inward warrior against self-will and an inward helper to do God's will. That's his mission. Yes, even when you're not on level ground, and especially when you're not on level ground, but going through turbulent times where it can be hard to know exactly what it means to follow God's will. The obedient heart is set on doing, Lord, teach me to do your will, and give me your Spirit to guide me to discern what your will is that I may do it. Should I pursue this calling or that one? Should I switch jobs or keep the one I have? Should I speak to my spouse about this concern or just show a better way by example? It's not always easy to discern the will of God in our own situation, to take the commandments, the clearly stated commandments in the Bible, and apply them. Yes, we know the commandments of God in the Bible, either by express precept, you shall not murder, or also by will of positive way of positive and negative examples. The holy saints like Abraham and Sarah and Joseph and Paul have much to teach us about doing God's will. And so do sinners in a negative way, like Saul and Judas and Esau. But still, in spite of the, even with the clear precepts and the clear examples, positive and negative, we still need his Spirit to take the clear command and apply it to our own unclear situation. We need the Spirit's guidance. To be faithful to God in my trial, at my crossroads, in my dilemma, in my hurt and pain, we say, Lord, you show me, in Joseph's example, how to endure abuse in faith. You show me how to test my abusers, too, like Joseph tested his brothers. You show me how to let go of bitterness and be ready to forgive. Now, Holy Spirit, show me how to do that in my situation and lead me to level ground. Teach me to do your will. I want to follow you in this, even though I'm so tempted to follow me and my own feelings, my own lusts and malice, malicious intent. And this is where honoring God becomes so crucial, because it's when we face that dilemma or the risk that we're so tempted to look for the easy way out or the feel-good way, like getting even or holding a grudge or wallowing in self-pity or just quitting. And we need the Spirit's guidance to lead us in God's good, holy, healthy, and peaceful way. And it's so important for us to pray for the Spirit's guidance continually, for wisdom not to react in our circumstances the world's way. Not to react the world's way. The world has its ways of going through turbulence, and they're the wrong ways. Not to react the way the world reacts, not to retreat the easiest way, but to go the holy way that pleases God and agrees with his will, agrees with the Bible. In Ephesians 5:15 through 18, Paul says three things that show us the issue of the Spirit's guidance in doing God's will. First, he says in Ephesians 5, verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Walk carefully, live carefully. Statement two, how do you do that? Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Or you walk carefully by understanding the will of the Lord. How do you do that? There comes a third statement. And do not get drunk on wine. You're not going to discover the Lord's will in a bottle. That is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit. So in order to walk carefully, you need to understand the Lord's will. And in order to understand the Lord's will, you need to be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5, 15 through 18. A great description of guidance, the Spirit's guidance. Because brothers and sisters, that's a Christian's greatest delight, isn't it? That your greatest delight? To please God, not please yourself? If the will of God lives in your heart, that's our delight. To please God. That doesn't mean the pressures to disobey God are gone. David's facing that. My spirit's failing, my inner spirit. I need your Holy Spirit to help me, to guide me through this, and to teach me to do your will. But that's where that prayer comes from, a heart that delights to do the will of God. That's been transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified to destroy our self-will and risen again to cause us to be born again in God's will, doing God's will. And this is the obedience that we pray for in the middle of life. All this prayer for guidance down the way of God's will to level ground is important when we face crises in life. Lord, you call me to love my wife. And I want to do that. Teach me how to do that right now in this circumstance where it might be difficult. Lord, you call me to submit to my husband. Show me what that looks like right now. Lead me by your Spirit. Teach me to do your will. You call me to honor my father and my mother, but show me how to do that right now when they mistreat me. You call me to obey the civil government, Lord, but help me discern what that looks like when they overreach. I need your help. Lord, you call me to love my neighbor, but show me what that means since my neighbor is also my enemy. Lord, you want me to witness to my coworker. That's your will. But how do I do that right now? Lead me, guide me, help me what to say, to know what to say. And you tell me to speak the truth in love, and I need to do that with a friend right now. But Lord, direct me in what to say and how to say it. And congregation, you can be sure that when God's children come to him for the guidance of the Spirit to do God's will, he who loves his holy will and loves you to do his holy will not say, figure it out yourself. He will answer your prayer, lead you in the wise way that agrees with Scripture and glorifies him and does not fear man. How good the Lord Jesus is to direct us in the very purpose of our salvation. We see that thirdly. This is a prayer for joy. A prayer for joy. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, help me not only to know your will and to do your will, but to love your will and to enjoy it like the angels in heaven do, so that wherever I go on earth, there's a piece of heaven walking around in me, angelic obedience. And I want that to grow so that that may spread across the world. It's an amazing prayer. Your will be done, Lord. Help us to do your will on earth like it is being done in heaven. How is God's will being done in heaven? I'm going to read a few scriptures with you about how the angels in heaven do God's will. Listen carefully. The first we sang about, Psalm 103. Right at the end of the psalm, bless the Lord, O you, his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. They do his word. They obey his voice. They do his will. Then Luke 1:19, what does Gabriel say to Zechariah? I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, he says. And I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. I stand in the presence of God. There's Gabriel, standing, ready, waiting, willing. Send me. I'll bring the news. Lord, make me obey like that. And Gabriel again to Daniel in Daniel 9. Daniel says, the man Gabriel, Daniel 9, 21 through 23, came to me in swift flight. We're not just going to go sort of meander to do God's will. He came in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. That's right when Daniel was praying, saying, oh, Daniel, I have come now to give you insight and understanding. At the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out. And I have come to tell it to you, for you're greatly loved. God sent out a word. Gabriel's ready, and he comes swiftly to bring that word of God to Daniel. And then one more passage, Hebrews 1:14. Are not all ministering angels, all ministering spirits, sent out to serve for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? Teach me to do your will willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven, the catechism explains. Lord, I don't want to do your will begrudgingly. Oh, do I have to do that? This hurts so much. I'll do your will, but I'll do it with a whine, Lord, because you're not very nice. You're kind of mean, but I'll do it. No. Your will is good. And if your will takes me through pain, it's because you are good and you want to purify me and make me look more like Christ. So I'll obey your will willingly and faithfully like the angels in heaven who are swift, who are standing ready, and who do what they're told because they love God, the God whom they serve. There's no better witness in this world to help others do God's will than when they see Christians doing God's will, especially when there's pain involved, doing it with gladness. I got to think of that when it's my turn to suffer for his name. That I suffer in faith and with gladness and witness to those around me. Christ is so valuable. He's worth the cost. I want to give an example of the witnessing power of obeying God's will joyfully. The witnessing power of obeying God's will joyfully. You know it already, Philippians 2. Verses 13 through 16. First, Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. So God's working in you to will, to do God's good pleasure, to do God's will, to do what pleases him. Then he says, do all things. Sometimes we split these two verses, but put them back together. As you will, to work for God's pleasure, do all things without grumbling and disputing, without grumbling or complaining, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. So do God's will without grumbling or complaining, so that you're holding forth the word of life in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation. Culture. as we do God's will without backtalk, without complaining, but willingly, faithfully, and joyfully as the angels in heaven, we hold out the word of life. And we're praying, Lord, through me, may others too reject their own will, repent, come to the Lord Jesus for salvation, and learn to do your will. So it's not just heaven in me, but heaven on earth. Your will be done on earth, globally, as the angels are doing it in heaven. This is so radical. But this is the plan of Jesus Christ, the reason he came. And this plan, he will bring about through the prayers of his people. Till finally he brings it to a finish when he returns. And what a day that will be. Let us learn to pray. Teach us to do your will, O God, for you are my God. Lead me by your good spirit. Bring me to level ground. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord our God, we thank you for saving us from our own wills, to go back to doing your will as we were created to do in the beginning. We long to see this paradise return in us and on earth everywhere. We cannot do this, Lord, in our own strength. We call upon your name. Help us to do your will. And when we're not sure what that is, guide us by your spirit to level ground. Help us to understand what pleases you. Make that first and foremost in our lives. Make that our first desire. Help us today, in whatever spot we're in, whatever conflict we face, to say no to self-will. To say yes to your will at all costs. For your will alone is good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.